But first of all, touch on Gauridas Pandit, because that will prepare us to understand something about Rupa Goswami, who is the most important personality in all of our lives, besides our Shiksha, immediate living Shiksha Gurus and Diksha Gurus. Rupa Goswami is the head of our Sampradaya, because our Sampradaya basically starts with Lord Chaitanya, although we, to make ourselves bona fide, we connect ourselves with the Madhva Brahma Sampradaya, but we're called the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. So that means we're the Gaudiya Sampradaya. We're Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So the Gaudiya Vaishnavas begin with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 500 years ago, and he gave the teachings to Rupa and Sanatan. And then they gave to Das Goswami and Surav Damodar and so many others. Ramananda Roy received also through Lord Chaitanya. So Gauridas Pandit, he of course, he's, as we heard this morning, and of course it's good to hear again and again, he was completely fixed in Sakya Bhav. Why is that? Because in Krishna Leela, he's also in Sakya Bhav. He's a Priyanama Sakha. He's 12 and a half years old, a little bit younger than Krishna, and he has a beautiful golden body. His body is described in Radhakrishna Ganadesh Deepika, his transcendental surup, his vastu siddhi, his spiritual body, his golden in color, tapta kanchana subalangi. His angi, his arms are tapta kanchana, they're golden. He has a golden body. And what color dhoti does he wear? Lo and behold, he wears a dark blue dhoti, a sham blue dhoti, just like Radharani. So he's, Krishna is one of Krishna's dearest friends. Priyanarmasaka means very dear friend. And he plays roles throughout Nectar Devotion. You can look up Subal Sakha and you see so many nice pastimes. And Vrindavan, we're very much acquainted with the pastimes, because the deities, they're more than just being Murtis. They consider that they're Radha and Krishna, as we do in our temple. And we're worshipping personally Radha and Krishna, so they like to go for a boat ride, and they like to go for a ride on a swing, Julan Yatra. So we offer all these services to the personality of God and His divine consort, Srimati Radharani, because in fact they're doing all these things. They're going for boat rides, Noka Bihar, and in Prem Sarovar, and Mansarovar, and Pavan Sarovar, and Jamuna, and the Manasi Ganga, so many places. So we have these pastimes. So Subal, in this pastime we're very much familiar with, that during Gopastami, most of us know Gopastami as the first day that Nanda Baba gave Krishna charge of the cows. When Krishna first came to Chatikara, after they left Gokula, after the Shakatasura and Trinavarta, they came to make their settlement here, and as is described in the Nanda Vrindavan Champu, their wagons extended, their bullock carts extended from the Kaliadaha, from the Yamuna, all the way to Govardhan and on up to what later became known as Nandishwar, but it was not yet manifested. So, and they stayed there for a couple of years, and during that time Krishna started taking out the calves. And then he had an experience with Vatsasura, one demon named Vatsasura, who disguised himself as a calf and tried to play in this game, and then he got snatched and destroyed. He was sent by Kamsa. So then on Gopastami, when Krishna entered his fifth year and his Poganda Leela, then Nanda Baba said, "Now you're a big boy, you can take out the cows." Just like you see these big boys and big girls taking out the cows. They're about this tall. You see them in Vrindavan. They're about 2.5 feet tall, and they're taking out 1,000-pound or 2,000-pound buffaloes and these huge cows. Some little girl with a little tiny stick. And the buffalo just could hit her with his tail and knock her on her butt. But she has a stick, and she's empowered by her mother and father. You take out the buffalo, you take out the cows. So Krishna was something like that, a very small boy, but he was given charge of big Matajis, big cows. So that was Gopastami. So Of course, in Gopastami in Mayapur, that's the one day of the year they show Radharani's feet in Radha Madhav. In our Mayapur temple, they show Radharani's feet on that day. And that's because of this leelas behind that. There's like leela vichar, shastra vichar, vidhi vichar. So their behavior, their vidhi or behavior is based on shastra and based on the pastimes of the Lord on the platform of Bhav Seva. So in Bhav Seva, they want to please the Lord according to their devotional mellow or their feelings of spontaneous love. Oh, now let's go past me. We'll let Krishna relive this pastime. So in the Radha Govinda Mandir, in Radhakund, there's a very beautiful golden deity of Radharani with Govindaji. And of course here in Vrindavan and also in Jayapur with Govindaji. And at Govindaji and some other temples, Radharani celebrates this festival. I think also it's coming up, it's in Kartik, and it's also coming up the day after Purnima, or I think maybe Monday, this Monday. They're having special darshan in different temples, Maharas and Subal Sukha. So this is Subal Sukha, when Radharani take the form dressed up as Subal. Because the pastime was when Krishna went out with the cows, he was feeling very much separation from Radharani. So he was sitting, the cows were with the boys, and they're sitting on the near the Govardhan, and Krishna entered one grove and into one kunja, and he sat there and he just put his head on his hands and his elbows on his knees, and as people do sometimes, and sat down on a rock over there on Govardhan, because Krishna can walk on Govardhan and Krishna can sit on Govardhan. Krishna is Govardhan. So he sat like this and very dejected and full of anguish and anxiety. And then Subal, who's such a dear friend of him, he's always with Krishna in all settings, he's serving him. But Priyanarma Sakas, they not only serve Krishna and Sakiras, but they also serve Krishna Madhuryaras. So it's possible for someone who wants to, who's attracted to Krishna's leelas with the gopis and Radharani, but at the same time he's more, he has that feelings or those feelings, at the same time he's more, has more feelings towards coward boy mood, then he can be follow Subal and Sridham, as it's told in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. If one is in the general category of Sakiras, he should follow Subal Sakha and Sridhama, the brother of Radharani. So then Subal was trying to confide him and comfort him. He said, Subal, please, can't you bring Radharani somehow or other? You're very clever, he's very clever, very intelligent. And can't you somehow bring Radharani? I want to meet her so much. So then Subal said, well, look, I'll try what I can do. So on this day, this pastime took place on Gopastami. We celebrate Gopastami. It falls during Kartik Maina, during Kartik month. And generally we think of it like that. Oh, this is the day, Gopastami. Gopastami, the cows are worshipped. It's the Ashtami, it's the eighth day after the, I think it's the waxing moon, because the eighth day after waning moon is Bahulastami. So there's two Ashtamis in Kartik, Bahulastami and Gopastami. So 8 days after the waxing full moon, or the full moon. So then this pastime took place in Nityalila, and to celebrate that eternal pastime on that day, the Govindaji temple at Radhakund and other places, very, very beautiful darshan. So why? Well, it's because of this thing really happened, this pastime really happened. The Subal, he started wandering and he ended up in Yavat. He ended up in Yavat Gram. And in Yavat, of course, Radharani was staying there, and she was inside the house being kept under strict surveillance by her crooked mother-in-law, Jatila, and her envious sister-in-law, Kutila. She was not able to go out. That way, that's why Krishna was so unhappy and crying and, you know, like he does. So then Subal was there. Then Jyotila, she saw Subal moving in Javit, and she said, oh, like if you see the secretary, and then you know the boss must be nearby. So she was a little suspicious. Because she's on guard, and she's always looking out for that rascal Krishna when he's trying to sneak in here and come in here somehow or other. And sometimes he comes in disguises, so she knows. She's caught him a few times in disguises as female fruit vendors, and his female manicurist, and you know, manicurist, Nakawalis, and as you know, as barbers and haircutters, and so many things, so many different disguises Krishna adopted in order to penetrate the fortress of Jatila's obstruction to his meeting Radharani. And he's quite successful many times. That's part of the fun of Krishna's pastimes. For him, it's great fun. So then, he says, Subal said, oh, we don't want him like calves. He strayed away. He got lost. I was looking for him over here and there. And she said, oh, I didn't see anywhere over here. Anyway, you can look around. Maybe he got mixed up in the goshala with my cows or something. Maybe he's over there. So he said, yes. And said, so then he went around, and she ignored him. She just thought he was innocent. He's only 12 years old. He's 3 years younger than Krishna. He's 12 and a half. So he's not so much of a threat. He's a younger type boy. So then what he did is when Jatila, because Jatila, she's always busy with Gosi Seva. Gosi Seva means picking up the cow pizzas, you know? The picking up the gober. Called Gosi in Bengali. Gosi Seva. I say, oh, do some Gosi Seva. It's very good. So she's collecting and putting in a basket and carrying on her head and like that, like Sakis do. So then she says, look, Subal, you look around. I'm busy. I do collect some more gober. There's so much gober all over the place, and you go over there. So then he went and looked around, and he immediately went in the house, and he found Radharani. Oh, she was so happy. Subal, where's Krishna? Where's Krishna? He must be nearby. Because they're like inseparable. Wherever Krishna is, Subal is. And she says, look, you know, he's in the Kunj by Govardhan. He's so sad that you haven't been out for some days, and your mother-in-law is creating so many obstacles. And you have to go there somehow or other. And she says, all right, so what do we do? So then, so let's change clothes, because Subal has a golden body and she has a golden body. So then they change clothes. He takes off his Gopa Vesh, because on that day on Gopastami, Govindaji, the Radharani Govindaji, where she dresses up as a sucker. She has a cow herding stick, and she has her hair pulled back or tied in a top knot, and she's all dressed, and she has she's wearing like a coward boy's dhoti up to her, a little bit below her knees, and her beautiful lotus feet are showing. Because there's two things that happen. One thing they say, there's two pastimes that happen. On this day, Gopastami, when Krishna went out with the cows, that was the first time that he went away from the scrutiny of the immediate village. Because when he was with the calves, he was just playing nearby. Like sometimes you see pictures, he's holding on the tail of a calf, and they're taking Krishna for a ride through the village. So he only stayed in the village when he was tending calves. But when he went for Gocharan at the age of 5 on Gopastami, this is the first day that he was going out into the van. He was going out in the Hula van and Kam van and all the different vans, away from Chatikar, because he actually was staying in this area of Chatikar, and that's when he began. So now it was very, very convenient, because also during this time of Chatikar, that's when Radharani and Krishna first met in an official way. Of course, there's a pastime at Ravel where Krishna crawled in her room and everything. She's a baby. But they're Purvarag. They saw each other during this time at Chatikar, because Radharani's family, when Krishna moved from Ravel, Gokul, Radharani's family was in Ravel. They moved to Ral. They moved to Ral, and Krishna moved to Chatikar. Ral is the first big village you come to on your way to Govardhan and Radhakund. So Radharani was in Ral. So that's where they first met over there. As many people say, they first saw each other. Yamuna was flowing by there, and Radharani was standing there under a kadamba tree, and then she saw Krishna, and then the whole pastime takes place. So what happens when Krishna went out with the cows? It was a little bit Gopastami. It was a little bit like still rainy season, even though it's Kartik. It was a little wet, and it was behind all the cows. It was a little muddy. So then Radharani, she was. Krishna went out behind the cows, and the Sakis started following them. They started following Krishna and the cowherd boys. Because after Yashoda and Nanda Baba said goodbye 100 times, they said goodbye 100 times and embraced them 100 times, and then they caught them again and said goodbye, and then again And finally they let them go out of the grip of their Vatsalya Bhav. And then the Sakhis were watching when it was time they could go. And then they went behind the cows. So when they went behind the cows, see the Sakhis and Radharani, Radhika, they were very long saris. Practically they covered their toes. Practically they covered their toes, what to speak of, their ankles. Just like in Ramayana, when someone was asking Lakshman, well, did you see Sita Devi? Did you see this or that? He said, no, I've never seen above her ankles. And he didn't even say her ankles. He said, I only seen her ankle bells. And the ankle bells sit below the ankles and they rest on the fore part of the foot. You know, when a lady wears ankle bells, they kind of rest on the front of the foot. They're not like a choker around the neck or something. Like, they're not like this. They're loosely on the front. So even lower, Lakshman was so chaste, and when he's moving with his brother and Sita, then he never saw more than the top part of her foot. You know, the surface of her foot. So Sakhis used to dress like that. Very, very chaste. So now, because all this mud was there, and all this gober, and if they left their skirts or like that, then when they got back to Yavat, their mothers and mothers said, oh, well, how you all look like you're rolling in the mud, you're all full of, because ladies aren't supposed to look like coward boys. The gopis aren't supposed to be all covered with cow dung and mud and everything, because they don't roll in the mud and play leapfrog and all those things. You know, they're supposed to be a little more sedate and stay in the village and do puja and this and that. So they would get caught. So because of that, then Radhika, she pulled up her sari up to her knees. You know, like when you go to Prikama, Vrindavan, and there's big floods here and there, you have to pull up your saris or dhotis or whatever, different places. So that's when all the deer and all the parrots and all the living entities of Vrindavan, they could see the beautiful lotus feet of Radharani. And everyone was, oh, such a darshan. Everyone, all the living entities in Vrindavan got to see Radharani's lotus feet. So that is commemorated on this day in these different temples, and this pastime also, which took place on the same day of Gopastami. So then Radhika, she dressed herself in Subal's vesh, and she became like Subal Sakha. She looked just like him. Dark blue dhoti, and she tied her hair in a top knot, you know, like they took it like this, like a top knot on the top of the head, no bani, and took off her nose rings and everything and looked okay. And then she said, oh, no, it's no problem. I just go out. But the thing is, maybe I have something in a little bit different I look than you. Because, you know, you're a boy and I'm a girl. So there's some difference. And I'm thinking maybe, you know, Jatila, even though she's a little blind, she's going a little blind. Sometimes she can see very clearly and sometimes she can't see at all, which is very advantageous, especially when I'm sneaking home. And if she can't, she hears some noise, she goes, Radharani, is that you? And I don't say anything. Of course it's me. Because she's blind, she only hears some noise when I'm coming in early in the morning or late at night. So sometimes Shatila's like her, she has like, goes temporarily blind and then she can see. Very old lady. So then Radharani said, what about this, you know? He said, no, no problem. I'll just go into your barn, I'll get one small calf. Because I already got this all planned out. I already told Jatila I was looking for my calf. You know, one baby calf was wandering here and there. And so she said, well, look around. She said, go look in my barn. See how Yogamaya set the whole thing up. Because Jatila said, you go, look in my barn. Maybe your calf, he mixed in with one of our mothers. He thought it was his mother and he's going for some lunch over there or something. You know, get some free milk, free lunch from another mother. So maybe he's over there. So then Subal said, he said, you just go out the back, you get one calf, and you hold the calf in front of like this. You just carry the calf up like this, and you walk by Jatila, she won't know anything, boy, girl, anything. She'll just see you in my vesh, and you have a golden face like me, and your smile is like mine. Because Subal looks very much like Radharani, practically like identical, which is very convenient for pastimes like this. Golden skin, lotus eyes, beautiful lips, nice nose, everything, very beautiful. He looks like Radharani. So you can, you know, very easy to disguise as Radharani. So then she said, fine. So she zipped into the barn and got one calf like that, and she went by. And Jatila said, oh, Subal, you found your calf. And then Radharani, because Radharani can also speak in all the languages of all the animals and all the birds and everything, not only Krishna. So she said, Acho, Acho, right? Acho, Acho, Acho. As they say in Vrajvasa, instead of Acha, they say Acho, 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 Acho. And then she said, okay, so shalom. So then Radharani went. So then she came to the Kunj to meet with Shyam near Govardhan. And then she was thinking, now I have some plans of my own. Krishna summoned me through his sukha, Subal. So Subal did his work, he served his master. But now I have my plans. Well, this is nature of lady, very clever. Clever type. So she came in and she let that calf go, and then she came in and Krishna was just sitting there. And he just glanced, like, without any concern, he just glanced because someone entered the kunj. He said, oh, Subal. So I thought that was going to happen. You didn't. You failed. So Radharani just kept quiet. She wants to watch how is Krishna going to react. So she had her own plan, a little test, because oftentimes lovers will test each other to see what is the intensity of the love. So this all originates in the spiritual world. Krishna sometimes tests the intensity of the gopis' love, and the gopis sometimes test the intensity of Krishna's love. And it also happens with any sadhaka or any devotee who is trying to present or offer some love to Krishna, to Radhika. They will be tested. Oh, you want to love me, Acha. You say like that, but do you really mean like that? Let me test you. Squeeze you, stretch you, wrench you, pull you in all different directions and see. Now you still want to, forget it, I don't want to love you. You're too mean, you're too rough, you're a hard player. You don't play fair. Just when things are going good, you just pull the rug out from under me, I was on my back. What is this, Krishna? You're too much. I love Maya. Maya's better. If I love Maya, then everything goes in a very predictable way. Opposition less, more comfort. Even hard times are not so hard, and the good times, oh, good times with Maya, very good. But my good times with you, I remember, a few Sunday feasts and a few kirtans and a few lectures, but, prikamas. But, the bad times are more, so many more. Krishna, I don't want to love you. So in this way, Krishna tests the love of his devotees. So now Radharani is testing the love of Krishna. So Krishna says, oh, Subal, you can't help me, you haven't done anything. Can't you see I'm totally destroyed? I can't even breathe, I can't think, I don't want to see anything. So Radharani is watching, listening, how is Krishna speaking? Because it's not rehearsed. It's not like when he comes late for Milan, for Avisar, he comes the next day at sunrise and he has a little book of excuses he gets from Madhu Mangal and different Brahmins. He has, they have how to make a car, how to sell a house, how to be a mother, how to be a daughter, how to be a son, alibis for lovers, or, excuses for paramours. Well, let's see. I tried that one last time. Oh yeah, see what happened? Oh, it was my birthday, and my mother Yashoda, she kept me back, and I wasn't able to come out. I'm very sorry. Oh, and Radharani said, you used that last year. Oh, whoops. So like this, Krishna has so many alibis and so many things he says to excuse himself and explain himself. So oftentimes his lines with Radharani are very rehearsed. They're very much rehearsed and well practiced and well premeditated, you can say. But now Krishna's off guard, completely candid. He's thinking this is Subal. So Radharani is getting very nice view, very nice test. Who is this Shyam? How much does he love me? How does he really feel for me? So he says, Subal, you can't understand. You're just a boy. Because he's only 12 years old. You're my friend, and I take you everywhere, and you go to Radhakund, and you see the Sakis, and you carry messages for me back and forth, and you make nice arrangements for me to meet with Radharani. I mean, usually, not this time. This time you let me down. I thought I could count on Subal. You're like, I thought I could count on you, because no one looks like you. You look practically like Radharani. If you can't achieve this, no one can. So I can't explain so much. I'm attached to Srimati Radharani. So, and then he's talking and talking. So Krishna was talking himself. As he talked more and more, it increased the agitation of the waves of his love for Radharani. And then Krishna started to break down. And because when a person talks about someone, like you lose someone you love, and then you start recalling them in your memory and say, oh, my mother was like this or that and this or that. And pretty soon you work your emotions up by sound vibration, by mantras, by words, by sentences, by exchanges with other friends. Oh, yes, she was so nice. And like two sisters will get together and say, oh, we weren't that nice to our mother. You know, she made us a nice house in Vrindavan, and she was always so nice to us. And then one day she went into Samadhi, and now we're just left here. And, you know, like your daughter, after you go in Samadhi, then they might appreciate, oh, my mother was really nice, but I was so independent, and I never wanted to listen to her. So then they start working up, and then they start crying, because all their, Vatsalya Bhav for the mother, the parental love and the child's love comes out. So in the same way, Krishna, by talking about Radharani, remembering her virtues and qualities and her unique love, that incomparable, matchless love that she would serve him with, he started crying. So Radharani, she's disguised as Subal, she's sitting right next to, she sees he's crying, and she can't tolerate that. Just as a man cannot tolerate the tears of a woman cannot tolerate the tears of a man, which are very rarely seen. But in Krishna's Leela, these have their origin. The origin of everything comes from Krishna's Leela. So in Krishna's Leela, Krishna cries, and Radharani also cries. But when Radharani cries, of course Krishna, he's even way before that, he surrenders everything. But the same. So when Krishna started crying in this Radharani, she came to understand, at least for that moment, Yogamaya allowed her to understand for that moment how much my Priyatam Sham, how much he loves me more than anyone else. Because why Krishna was speaking like this, sometimes Subal would play the anti-party. He would say, well, cheer, why don't just relax. You can go to Gaurikund, or you can go to Sakistali, because Chandravali is there, or Shabhi is there, Padma is there. What it is, so Radharani, she's too busy today, but you can, we have so many gopis all over Braj, brothers, some gopiyan, you can enjoy everywhere. You know, Radharani, he says, no, I don't care about them. They only exist as a foil. Chandravali, all these Chandra, what does Chandra mean? Chandra means like, Chandra is simply a reflection of the sun. There's no sun, there's no Chandra. The light of the sun, it has its origin in the moon. So, the light, the love of Chandravali is simply a reflection of Radharani's love. They are simply all reflections. She is the origin of the love. She is a prema mayi. She is made of prema. She is the prema sindhu. These other gopis, they are foil. Foil means it's like a block or something. I just, you know, use them to enhance my experience, my loving relationship with Radharani, and to increase her attachment for me. So in so many ways, Radharani tried to cheer Krishna up and say, well, you don't need Radharani, you have so many gopis. And then she came to know. And then Krishna started crying. So then, of course, Radhika could not contain herself anymore. So she put her arm on Shyam. She leaned over, put her arm around him. And as soon as he felt that, he said, Subal, wait a minute. And then he felt this hand on his shoulder over here, on his right shoulder, because Subal was sitting over there. Because he's younger, he'll always sit in, and that's the place where Radharani sits, on left side of Krishna. But Subal would also sit there, whereas Balaram would have come and sat there. Or Mata Mangal would have maybe sat there on the right hand side. So he's sitting there, right where Radharani sits, because he's younger, 2-3 years younger. Then his hand is there, and then Krishna felt something. He says, Subal? And then he looked, and then Radharani looked, and then Hare Krishna. So this is Gopastami. This is the Kartik, a pastime that happens in Kartik. Why Radharani shows her lotus feet? This is called Subal Sukha Vesh. So when you go, when you're a new devotee, you come to Vrindavan, you go to that temple. Hey, what's Radharani showing her lotus feet? Radharani's not supposed to show her feet. This is bogus. They don't know what they're doing here in this Radha Govindaji temple in Jayapur and Radhakund in Vrindavan. So you may think you know so many things, but we don't know too many things. Actually, they're exactly in line with Shastras and reality of the spiritual world, and it's very pleasing to allow Radharani to remember and engage in that pastime on that day. So who is this person? This person is Gauridas Pandit. This Subal Sukha comes in this world as one of the Dwadasa Mahajans, Dwadasa Gopals, the 12 Gopals or 12 coward boys of Nityananda, Balaram, who came to associate with Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. So Gauridas, it's interesting that Subal and Krishna are always having their rasa. They're always wrestling, and Subal is always defeating him. That's why it's called Subal. And then sometimes Krishna jokes with them, what are you, Subal? You're Abal. Abal means without strength. And Bal means strength, like Balaram. So he's Subal. And Krishna will defeat him, and then he'll go to the gopis, and he'll say, hey, you better give back my flute because I'm very strong. I've defeated the coward boys in wrestling so many times. Just like Subal, Sridham, I defeated them all. And my powerful arms, I'll just crush you like a black serpent if you don't give back my flute. Like that. And so he says, so many times I defeated Subal. And then the gopis, they reply, hey, you're lying. You're just a liar. You lie to your mother, you lie to the gopis, you lie to everyone. Now you're trying. We already know Subal. Why is Subal? He's beat you so many times in wrestling. Even he carries you, he defeats you and you have to carry him on your back. And then you have the audacity to call Abal. He says, Abal, I just let you win. You even tell him when he defeats you clearly and squarely, you say, oh no, I let you win. You're Abal, you're not Subal. We know your tricks, what you do. Even your poor Subal. And like this. So Subal is very strong and he's the same color as Radharani. So then when he comes in the Gaurlila, he gets the name Gauridas. Gauridas, Gauri means very golden, fair complexion. And he was like that. He had a very fair and golden complexion. And he had one disciple named Chaitanya Das. And his disciple was such an extraordinary personality that, I guess you heard that pastime this morning about the Lord Chaitanya and Lord Gauranga were going to leave Mayapur for their preaching Leela, going to Puri and traveling. And Gauridas, he was completely heartbroken because his life and soul was Gauranitai. He could not think of a sunrise without the darshan of Gauranga. He could not think of a sunset without the darshan and the sankirtan party of Nityananda and the fun and the kirtans he would have with Lord Nityananda and all the wonderful experiences moving through Mayapur. And just he was about to practically commit suicide when the bad news came to his ears that Gauranitai were going to leave Mayapur. So he went to Prabhu and he said, Prabhu, I cannot live anymore. If you're going to leave this holy place, I have to go with you or give up my body. But you want me to stay here and I have seva here. So what can I do? Either way, if I stay here, I'll give up my body out of separation. And if I go with you, then I'll give up my body because I can't perform my service to you. So I'm completely in anxiety and I can't live without your darshan. You're my very prananath. You're the Lord of my life. So Lord Chaitanya said, look, listen, I'll tell you what. You get one murti stapati, you get one murti wala, and you make one murti of Gaur and Nitai, myself and Nitai. And we will stay with you in this form of the murtis. Even though we will leave Mayapur, we will stay, we will be with you in the Archa murti, Archa Vigraha. And you can feed us and speak to us and everything is no problem. And you'll feel no different. And everything will be the same. So you get those deities now, and then after some time, then we'll go. So then he had deities made of Gauranitai. Very beautiful deities there to be seen on this day. You can see in Ambika Kalna. It's about 2 hour drive from Mayapur. Two or three, I forget. You have to go by bus. Very beautiful village, Ambika Kalana. So he got the deities made, and lo and behold, they look beautiful. They're very beautiful deities. They look just like Gaur Nitai. And everyone was remarking, oh, how they look like Gaur Nitai. So beautiful. So then he's doing worship, and he was worshiping them in a very intimate, personal way, because he was living with Gaur Nitai, and the deities, he would make them offerings, saying, oh, Gaur Nitai, oh, why you didn't eat anything? Is my cooking not proper? Was it not clean? Was I not clean in my preparation, or my mind was not clean, or was it not tastily made, or maybe it was not attractively offered? It wasn't designed on the plate and put very attractively, because these are the three features of offering. If you want to offer Krishna something that he will eat, then these three things must be there: cleanliness of body, mind, articles, paraphernalia, kitchen, bhoga, everything clean. And then the second thing is that it must be very tasty. He must be a good cook. He must learn cooking. It must be very, very tasty and delicious. And then that's the two things. But there's one other thing is just as important, equally as important. It must be very beautiful to look at. It must be very colorful and very arranged neatly and nicely on the tray. And someone to look at and say, oh, it looks like a piece of art. It looks like a painting. Such, and the tray, and of course cleanliness means the tray is clean, the katoris are clean, everything's clean. Prabhupada, he taught us, taught the devotees, that when we go in the kitchen, we wash everything. We wash the raisins, we wash the almonds, we wash the carrots, we wash the sabji, we wash the grains, you know, the rice. Everything is washed, washed, washed. So many things with water. You're going to use raisin, you know, kishmish, or kaju, or badam, or almonds, or mungfali. Anything, you wash it first. Unless you're going to fry it. If you're going to fry it in ghee, then that purifies it. Because things cooked in fried ghee become purified by the frying process. But if you're going to make chants or make powders or make baking and this and that, cakes, everything should be washed first. Not you just take some dry almonds and dry raisins and throw them in your cake batter and make your 430 cakes. That's very kacha, very dirty, not nice. Because there's so much rat stool in the raisins and so much camel hairs in the raisins and all kinds of things in the dates and all, you know, really, so much filth. So dried fruit should all be washed. So you think, well, I'm making very nice cake. It's a very tasty cake. But is it clean? Are all principles of clean? Are you doing proper cleanliness? So clean it must be. And it must be tasty. Then, is it just a sloppy thing? And does it look very nice? Oh, look, all the sabjis I made are just yellow. The whole thing is yellow. What a stupid. Why didn't I make some? I should have made something with tomatoes, something red and yellow, green. Like I saw an offering today for the deities. I was in Radhadamodar taking darshan. I saw the plate they offered the Prabhupada. It was the same maha they offer here at noon. It was so beautiful. Wow. It's really, of course, you know, maybe I'm doing Chaturmasi, everything looks a little more beautiful. When you're only eating khichdi for 5 weeks, everything looks beautiful, you know? Just like if a man's in the desert for 5 years, you know, and he's all by himself, you know, the first, you know, that he sees, you know, he's like, he can see some battle axe or something, or, you know, some kind of, he'll see any kind of lady, he'll think like, wow, Miss Universe, you know? if he hasn't seen anyone for 5 years, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder. But trying to be a little objective, which of course is impossible in our conditional situation, but I was appreciating that this is beautiful. I mean, I know Bhuvaneshwar, and I've had prasadam with him so many times because he cooks in an offering, but it was very, very beautiful, all different yellows and greens and reds and whites and all different subjects, beautifully done, really beautiful. And you could just see that it was tasty, and I know the cleanliness standard and all that. So this is a real offering. You could just see that offering, say, the offering plate itself was effulgent. It was effulgent with bhakti. Bhakti Jyoti, with the light of devotion, which devotion means care, love and care and attention. Devotion means care. It means emotion. Devotion means emotion, feelings, but it means care. TLC, tender loving care, attention. So all these things, being very strict in cleanliness and pick the best items and all this, that's all called under caring. Because you care. If you don't care, then you shouldn't cook. Be very caring, which is emotions, and be very careful, which is being sattvic and pure. So that's the last point. So he was serving his deities in a very personal way, and when he make the offering, he would talk to them. And when he was just like, "Oh, we just had this new dress made for you. Do you like this Sringar? Is it nice?" And Gauranitai would say, "It's okay." And so very personal. So one day he came to do. He was in the kitchen. He was all excited. He made a very beautiful offering for Gauranitai. And he went in to offer it. And he went into his temple room where the deities and the deities Chalega, they were gone. They were not there. Huh? 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 And he started crying, "Oh, Gauranitai, ha goranga, ha goranga, hanitai, hanitai, ha, ha gor, ha gor, ha gor." And he starts crying and he's running. Oh, some dacoit is taking them. Maybe they fell off the back of the altar. Maybe some a cat went in there, and he's looking in the altar frantic, you know. And he's imagining 1,001 different things. His mind is just breaking in a million pieces, and he's running around like a total madman. And he runs into it because he was married. He runs in to see his wife. "Where's Thakurji? Where's Thakurji?" And he's like, you know, shaking it. "Where is he?" And she said, "Oh my God, that's what he's talking about. You know, you're gone crazy. You know, sick to some he gave you some drugs or something. What happened?" "He's gone, he's gone." "What do you mean he's gone, he's gone? He's there in the temple. I just saw him there from Mangal Artik and Sringar Artik. What are you talking about?" "But by noon Artik, he was gone." So then he goes, he says, "No, he's gone, you don't know." And so then she runs in the temple and she says, "He's gone." And she starts becoming frantic and everyone's running around. So then someone told him, they said, "Oh," and he asked some neighbors, "Where's Gauranitai?" He said, "Hey, I saw them walking with some devotees. They're walking down by the Ganges, some kirtan or something. I don't know. The usual thing he does all the time. You know, he's doing the usual thing. Gauranitai, they're always walking around here with a bunch of guys chanting and doing nothing all day. You know, they don't work, they don't do anything. They just wander around. He closed his school. He was a responsible Sanskrit teacher. He closed his toll, threw away his books. Now he went once to East Bengal, begged a little money, so he's maintaining his wife, but you know, he's acting crazy and not working, just chanting with his kirtan party, moving here and there. Anyway, they're over there." So he goes there, and then he sees his Gauranitai, and he has a stick in his hand, because he's in this kind of bhav. He's like a father, you know, like Sakya Bhav and Vatsalya Bhav. He says, "You know, I cook." He says, "Hey, what are you doing here? Dancing in his kirtan. I just made a fantastic lunch for you. And you don't have any love for me? I mean, every day you're taking an offering, you're smiling, I'm asking you how you like it, you're telling me how you like it. Now without any notice, you don't tell me, you just run away? What kind of friend is that? I mean, is that what you call love? That's your idea of love? You know, and it's getting cold now, and I'm just, you know, this is only for you, it's not for me." And so then he says, "Get over," you know. So he takes his stick and he goes over. He says, "You get over there." So that back to the temple. So this was his bhav. So he goes to Gauranitai, and Gauranitai is, whoa, they're like afraid. So they didn't know where to go. So they, you know, the nearest shelter they could find was the heart of a pure devotee, because that's always the nearest shelter for Krishna. Wherever he finds the heart of a pure devotee, he immediately takes shelter there. But he's everywhere. Krishna's in every atom. So sometimes he takes shelter in a column and he comes out to protect his devotee. Sometimes he's in the atoms floating around in each atom. And then when he sees a pure heart, he sees, oh, here's a pure devotee. Oh, I think I'll go in there. And he takes shelter in there. So he went in the heart of Chaitanya Das. The Gauranitai, and Gauridas is watching. And he was chasing him. All of a sudden they went into the body. They just disappeared and merged or entered the body of Chaitanya Das. Who is Chaitanya Das? He's a disciple of Gauridas Pandit. So sometimes a disciple can be even more than the spiritual master. In this case, at least. I mean, that's pretty extraordinary. So everybody was amazed. The kirtan party came to a grinding halt. And now they dropped the cartels and were like, "Hey, what happened?" I didn't rehearse this. they say, "Hey, what happened to the life of the party? You just swallowed them in your heart. You just absorbed them in their heart. What's going on?" So everybody said, I said, you're Chaitanya, Chaitanya Das. You're Hridaya Chaitanya. Hridaya Chaitanya Ki Jai, Hridaya Chaitanya Ki Jai. So from that day forward, although his Naam from his guru was Chaitanya Das, all his Shiksha gurus, all his god brothers and everyone, they call him Hridaya Chaitanya. And of course he became the guru of Dukhi Krishna Das. And Dukhi Krishna Das became Shamananda. And Shamananda established the worship of Radhasham Sundar, who we are named after in this temple, Radhasham Sundar deities. So that's Dukhi Krishna, he became Hridaya Chaitanya. So then Gauridas is a little bewildered, because now Gauridas is not in the temple, they went in the heart of his disciples. His disciple took the Thakurjis away, so now he's like, there's no hope now. So he went back, very dejected, he went back to his temple, and there they were, the two brothers, Krishna and Balaram, Gauridas, standing there on the altar, smiling very mischievously. He said, ah, there you are. Okay, great. And he ran and got his offering, made his offering. So in this way, Gauridas Pandit could understand that Gauridas are non-different. His deities, his murtis of Gauridas are non-different than Gauridas themselves. Because his whole leela and pastime was arranged by Gauridas. So this is Gauridas Pandit. He came to Vrindavan and he stayed in a place called Dir Shamir. Dir Shamir Kunj. Dir means very gentle, and Shamir means wind or breeze, or means gentle breeze or gentle wind. So once when this is right near Yamuna Pulin, and it's nearby Gopishwar Mahadev and that side of Vrindavan, and we sang this song, Ramchandra Sange Naratam, monks have association with Naratam, because Srinivasa Acharya used to do bhajan there, and Srinivasa Acharya, he did bhajan in Dir Shamir Kunj, because that's where Gauridas Pandit did his bhajan, and it was a very, very beautiful place. So he did his bhajan there, and then I don't know if he had a chance to meet Gauridas or not, because he was a lot younger, but Srinivas came there also and did bhajan along with his friend Ramchandra Kaviraj, and also Hemalata Thakurani. Who's Hemalata Thakurani's father? Srinivas. Alright, Srinivas. Because she established his samadhi over there. So, when Radha and Krishna came, were wandering along the banks of the Yamuna during Rasa dance, that they were after Rasa dance, they were wandering over near that area. And they felt very fatigued. So there wasn't any breeze blowing. It was a very cool, very quiet evening. So all of a sudden, the wind, understanding the need of the situation, started blowing very gently. Very, very gentle, cool breeze was blowing about 1 o'clock, 1:30 in the morning, called Dir Shamir. So then they sat in this kunj, and the kunj was naturally air conditioned. It was AC kunj. Like Nandan Van, AC Kunj, AC room. So they had a nice natural AC room, and they just relaxed there in a pushpapalam flower bed, and they didn't require any fanning from sakis or chamas or anything, because there were no sakis around at this particular time. They were very much alone. So this nice cool breeze is blowing through the kunj. So that area is called Dir Shamir Kunj. So Gauridas Pandit did his bhajan there. And on this very day, about 500, 450 years ago, he entered Samadhi in that place. And you can go there and have darshan of his Samadhi, Gauridas Pandit. A very nice kunj is there. And that is the same place where Radha and Krishna, there used to be a Nikunj there, and Radha and Krishna met there and had Nitya Leela there. A very, very special place, Dir Shamir Kunj. So this Gauridas is Subal Sakha. And you can read in Nectar Devotion, look up Subal, and there's so many nice descriptions of Subal. Also talks about how he dressed as Radharani here too. So it's not a new thing. Everything's in Prabhupada's books, as they say. There is an example of a mixture of conjugal love and fraternal affection. When Srimati Radha's, because this is Priyanama Sakha's, Priyanama Sakhas and Priyanama Sakhis are in this mood. They help Krishna meet with Radharani meet with Krishna and Krishna meet with Radharani. Radharani said, "My dear friends, just see how Krishna is resting his hand on the shoulder of Subal, who is dressed up just like a young girl. I think he must be sending some message to me through Subal. The purport is that the superiors of Radharani do not like Krishna to associate with her. Therefore, these friends sometimes dress themselves in female dress so they can give Radharani a message from Krishna. In this example, the whole is conjugal love and the part is fraternity." So this small shloka, Sanskrit shloka from Bhaktivasamrita Sindhu, can be expanded into Subal Sakavesh pastime, because this is the this is what's behind the shloka. This is a sutra. Sutra is like codified knowledge or compressed knowledge. Aham Brahmasmi or Sarva Kavidam Brahma. Sarva Kavidam Brahma. That's a sutra. So from that sutra you can expand Janmad Yasya Yataha. Janmad Yasya Yataha. That is a sutra of Vedanta sutras. And that's the first verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It ends with this Janmad Yasya Yataha, establishing that Krishna is the absolute truth, is the source of everything. He is the basis and the source of everything. So that's the first shloka and the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So it takes that sutra, Janmad Yasya Yataha, and that's also incorporated in the Param Satyam Nadimahi. Param Satyam Nadimahi. So that sutra from Vedanta Sutra, that he takes that and then he gives commentaries on that sutra. He means Vyasadeva, and those commentaries take the shape of 18,000 verses. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is 18,000 verses explaining one sutra from the Vedanta Sutra. What sutra? Janmad Yasya Yataha. So this means compressed knowledge. So this shloka is a sutra, a lila sutra. So this compresses a lila into a few lines. Sometimes Subal dresses as a girl to help pastimes. Oh, that's it? Well, what then? This pastime is there. So today, of course, is the Tirubhava Rupa Goswami. And one thing you can see in this book, Bhakti Ratnakar, this is all about Vrindavan, this particular chapter, chapter 5. Of that book, and there's a whole description about the power and benefits and beauty of Govindadev, the murti of Govindaji. Of course, the original murti of Rupa Goswami is now in Jaipur, but he's also here, because if you say Krishna is only in the Goloka Vrindavan, he can't be anywhere else, then you're in Maya, because you can't limit Krishna. Krishna's everywhere, he's in your heart. If he's only in the spiritual world, then who's in your heart maintaining your body? Who's digesting your food? Who's making you grow? And so Krishna is everywhere as Antaryami. So Krishna is Anantarupam. Adyam Purana Purusham Navayavanamsha. He says, Advaitam Achutam Anantarupam. Brahma explains, Krishna has unlimited forms. So when Krishna's manifesting his pastimes with Goswamis and Vrindavan as Govindaji, then he decides now he wants to manifest pastimes in Jayapur. So he goes in one form as Govindaji to Maya, Jayapur, and then he stays in Vrindavan as Govindaji also. And he also, because he visited Radhakund on the way to Jayapur, there's also Didi Govindaji at Radhakund. And because he stayed at Kamvan on his way to Jayapur, there's also Didi Govindaji in Jayapur. I mean, Kamvan. And because he stayed in Vrindavan, at the Yogapit, where the temple is actually constructed, is the actual very exact location of the Yoga Peet of Vrindavan, right where that temple is. If you want to be in the center of the Yoga Peet of Radha Govinda's Yoga Peet, you walk into that old temple and you sit down there, and maybe the monkeys won't snatch you away or whatever. That is the Yoga Peet that's described in here. There's so much description of Yoga Peet meditation. And it's described in the verse, Divyad Bindarani Kalpadrumadas Srimad Rat Srimad Nagar Simhasana Stol Srimad Shil Radha Govinda Devo Preshta Aladi Sevimana Smarami, right? That's in our songbook. The Murti of Govindaji. Of course, the original Murti of Rupa Goswami is now in Jaipur. But he had my Giriraj, I had my Radha Madhava, I had my Gokul Chandra, I had my this and that, and my Shaman this and that. So every Vaishnava has his own deity. And every Gaudiya Vaishnava has Radha and Krishna because they're worshipping mostly Radha and Krishna. But there's one deity for every one of us. There's one deity. We have our generic deities, our family deities. We have our family deities. Your family deities, your part of our deities, your Mandir Thakur. But there's one Thakur for every Gaudiya Vaishnava. Who is that? Radha Govinda. Govindaji. So where are they? They're in Jayapur, they're in Vrindavan, they're in Radhakund. Because these are all called Pratibhu Murti. Pratibhu Murti means they're expansions. They're expansions of the original. These particular ones are expansions. Radhakund, Kamban, Vrindavan. That's it. Because he manifested here in Vrindavan. So here it says here, very nice quote, it says, from Brahma Vaivarta Purana, anyone who goes to see Govinda on his Julan, during Julan Yatra, will never take another birth. Julan Yatra Ki Jai. So of course this goes back to our class a few days ago about calculation. Let's see, one Parikrama and five Vratas and one Chaturmasya. Wow, if I had all these up, 100 times Radha Kripa Kataksha and Radha Kund, hey, I got a maid in the shade, man. I'm going back. I got two Chaturmasyas. I got 10 Kartik Vratas. I got 3 lakhs, 3 lakhs of Radha Kripa Kataksha. I got so much japa, I can't even count. So many I slept through, so many I was awake for. Anyway, a lot of them I was awake for. And then all these kind of stotras. If you chant this stotra, you'll see Radha and Krishna. I've got it covered. I'm going back. So that's the calculator. One who practices bhakti with a calculator in one hand and mala in the other hand. It's the vidimarg. He's all calculation, fear, and calculation. But anyway, for those calculators, it's a good time. They're having a sale on free samsara bhanga. If you want to break the samsara, you just go to Govindaji. It's on sale. So, of course, those that are not calculated, they're thinking like this. The Raghunuga Bhakta, one who has love for Radha Govinda, he's saying, oh wow, soon it's coming Julan Yatra. I'll get to see Govindaji every day. I'll have to make some nice garlands. I have to bring some sweets every day. Oh, I'll have to get that special sweet that they only make for Radha and Krishna during this 13 days for this 2 weeks. It's called Devar. Gavar, I think it's called Gavar. They take a hollow can and they put it in ghee. Don't try to make it, you'll never be able to. They put it like, if you can make sown papri, then you can make these. Anybody here knows how to make sown papri? I never met anybody in my life. I never met anybody in my life that has white skin or brown skin or anybody in ISKCON that knows how to make sown papri. But if you're a Brijbasi, you can go like this. Make sown papri. You can make sandesh and rasgulla and rabri and rasmalai and this and that, da 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 da, halwa, da 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 da. But you can make, you can make sown papri. So or you can make this gevar. So anyway, they squeeze some kind of stuff like jalebi mixed, into the hot ghee, and it makes some kind of like noodly thing. And then they cook that in the ghee, then they take it out and they fill it with cream and all koa and all kinds of things and spices. But this is a special Shravan Mithai. So if you have some spontaneous love for Radha and Krishna, they're like, oh, Julan's coming up, we have to offer every day this Gevar, we have to go make garlands for and go see Govindaji's Julan. So everyone's going to see Govindaji. So this is a spontaneous mood. But the other one's just waiting, looking at his calendar. Next week on Wednesday, it starts Julan Yatra. Oh, I have to remember that. It's Wednesday. I have to go see on the Wednesday because it's Julan Yatra. It says you have to go see. I don't want to miss any devotional practices, Let's see, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Oh, it's Friday. Oh, hey, what happened? Julian, oh, is this still going on? Yeah, another day. I almost missed it. I'm so busy buying pizza filling in Delhi and getting my house together and getting my saffron dyed and shaved my head. I almost missed the Julian Yatra. Anyway, I'll run down there tonight. I'll see the last one. Oh yeah, I saw. Do you see Radhavinda? Yeah, I saw Julian. Oh yeah, you really saw it. You must have got a lot of impression. Must have really helped you. So that's it. That's called Vaidhi. You do it, but it's like, backhanded. Somehow you just barely do it. Just barely do the vidis because of fear and because of duty. Anyway, at least it's something. So we should see Govindaji's. He'll be finished on the day before Saturday, whenever. Saturday's Purnima? Yeah, so Friday's the last day. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So see Govindaji. So Govindaji is a deity and a yoga pit. Every single Gaudiya Vaishnava is at some time or other in their sojourn of perfection. Let's put it that way. Sometime or other in their sojourn of perfection, every single Gaudiya Vaishnava will meditate on Radha Govinda's yoga pit. What? What's the yoga pit? Anyway, whatever. As I said, sometime on your journey to perfection it will be required. So therefore it's described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in our songbook, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in all so many other books by all the Goswamis, something called Yoga Pit Smaran, Yoga Pit Dhyan. Wow, I never heard about that. I'm 39 years in the movement. I never heard of that. I'm 76 years in ISKCON. I never heard about it. Okay, but now you did, so it's not too late. 77 year might bring you to perfection. So that place, that Rupa Goswami, he brought down Yoga Pit from the spiritual world. He was empowered by Lord Chaitanya to bring down the Yoga Pit and reveal it here in Vrindavan. This is the spiritual world. But he was given that duty. He was given four duties by Lord Chaitanya. And one is to reveal the Nitya Lila stans of Radha Govinda. So he did it. Because the most important Lila stan is the Yoga Pit. That's why so many babas and devotees are all stuck over here and jammed over here. It's not. You ask any of them, don't you want to get a little fresh air? Wouldn't you like a peaceful, quiet place? Yeah, but the Yoga Pit is here. And Nidivan is here. And Rasastal is here. And Sringarvad is here. And Rupa's here. And Sanatan's here. And Jiva's here. So it's like, it's either Radhakund or it's this side. This is a major, and some Govardhan, Govindikund here, there. But, I mean, like, when you talk about thousands of serious devotees, they're all stuck in these, mixed up between these satellite TVs and everything. The neighbors have satellite TVs and Z and X and whatever kind of TVs. And there's some Babaji trying to do his bhajan, and it's like, 18 speakers outside his window. It's like really crazy. You go to visit some devotees, you can't believe how hellish it's become. But that'll all change in a few years. Definitely. Because too much aparad to Vaishnavas, too much sin in the holy dham, there must be reaction. Like Kamsa's like moved over, Kamsa's taken over Vrindavan. He used to stay in Mathura, but now he finally made his way over. So the Kamsa class of men will have to go. So this is the yoga pit, right where the temple is, exactly there. And then right behind it is the new Radha Govinda temple where the Pratibhu Murti is there. And you can go there and see the form of Govindaji, because he's teaching and he's inspiring every single surrendered Gaudiya Vaishnava how to practice bhakti. What is bhakti? What is sadhana bhakti? What is bhava bhakti? What is prema bhakti? What is shuddha nam? What is abhas nam? What is aparad nam? Who is a Vaishnava? What is uttam? What is madhyam? What is guru? All these things are taught by Govindaji and revealed by Govindaji. So we must, everyone, you have your personal deities, but everyone must have some relationship with Govindaji and Rupa Goswami, what to speak of Rupa Goswami. So of course, it's needless to say that if you haven't seen it in any books, then maybe we can make the official, proclamation that on this day it's obvious that every Gaudiya Vaishnava would have visited the samadhi of Rupa Goswami and offered pranams there and done prikrama there and offered some puja there and some stotras. It's obvious conclusion, because every one of us must have a relationship with Rupa Goswami to understand Saktyabhav, to understand Vatsalyabhav, what to speak of Madhuryabhav. Rupa Goswami is the pivot point. And relationship means seva. That's what relationship means. It means service. But this is the holy day of his Tira Bhav, I believe. Is it right? It seemed to be. There was quite a lot of action over there. We had the right day in our calendar because all the people were there today. So if it's not too late, there's still time. We can hop on a rickshaw and go down to the Samadhi Rupa Goswami. That is the most important place for a Gaudiya. What is the most important place in this universe for a Gaudiya Vaishnava? The first most important place. Samadhi Rupa Goswami. If your Gurudev has not entered Samadhi, the Samadhi Rupa Goswami. Number one. Number one most important place. And it just so happens, now that's if you're a Gaudiya Vaishnava. Now if you're an ISKCON Gaudiya Vaishnava, the most important place for you is what? The Samadhi of Srila Prabhupada. Because by his mercy, then we can go, because there's two most important places in a sadhaka's life. The Bhajan Kutir, where the Gurudev did bhajan, and the place where Gurudev entered Samadhi. And sometimes it's the same place. Like Jiva Goswami did bhajan in that place, and he entered Samadhi in that place. Gauridas Pandit did bhajan in that place, he entered Samadhi in that place. Many people are like that. Many devotees are like that. So, or you can say, Sanatana Goswami at Chakaleshwar, Manasi Ganga. He did bhajan there next to Lord Shiva on the banks of Manasi Ganga, and he entered Samadhi in that place. So that place, of course, is Samadhi. His body, where is Sanatana Goswami? His body is placed next to his beloved deity, Madan Mohan. Because he left this world and entered Samadhi 1534. So in 1542, about 8 years after Lord Chaitanya, then Sanatana Goswami left. And then a year later or something, Rupa Goswami left, and like that. So he left his body in Chakaleshwar and his bhajan kutir. But his samadhi, so he did bhajan there and he left his body there. But they didn't make the samadhi there. They made the samadhi in this Madan Mohan, Dwarasaditya Tila, behind Madan Mohan. Because the temple of Madan Mohan was being worshipped there and was being constructed. It took about 30 years, 40 years to build. The temple of Madan Mohan was opened in 1580. That was the first of the Goswami's temples. Sanatana Goswami didn't see it. He was already in Samadhi for 40 years. This is Sanatana Goswami's temple, right? Because it's the temple of his beloved deity, Madan Mohan. So Madan Mohan was there, so they wanted to put him next to his Madan Mohan. So all the Vaishnavas agreed. So in his case, although he entered Samadhi in his kutir. So the point I'm making, that's a whole, we could talk a long time on all that. But the Samadhi and the Bhajan Kutir of Gurudev are the most important, and of Prabhupada are most important. And second or first, if your Gurudev is still here, or you can say next to Prabhupada Samadhi, in terms of importance, is the Samadhi of Rupa Goswami. You should go there regularly and pray there. And of course, study. The most important thing is to study the books and follow the teachings of Rupa Goswami. At least we should go there, go to Rupa Goswami's Samadhi on this holy day. When I used to live over there for 3 years in Prabhupada's rooms, on this day I would sit over there, I would see every single Gaudiya. It seemed like if you want to take a census of every Gaudiya Vaishnava that's around here, or even coming from Radhakund sometimes, practically every single Gaudiya Vaishnava would come on this day to visit Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami is our everything. Sri Rupa Mandri Pada, Bhajana Pujana, he's our Vrata Tapa, he's the object of our vows, just like Narottam is praying in the song Sri Rupa Manjari Pad, that applies to all of us, every single Gaudiya Vaishnava. Govindaji is there, like Prabhupada, when he first named deities, he called them Radha Govinda. His own deities were Radha Govinda. The deities he worshipped and looked at for years and years on end were Radha Govinda. Then his deities in Calcutta were Radha Govinda. Then he went to New York, Radha Govinda. So he was introducing, the first deities introduced is Radha Govinda. His own deities. Why is that? Why did he pick the name Radha Govinda? Because Govindaji is the deity for everyone. And the specific Govindaji is the one that's described so beautifully here. Whole pages, 4 or 5 pages about Govindaji. So you see Govindaji, see Rupa Goswami's samadhi, offer prayers over there. In the back of the samadhi, there's a book on samadhis, Gaudiya Vaishnav samadhis, and in the back of it there's a nice bhajan glorifying Rupa Goswami. It's written by Radhavallabha Das. It's a very nice bhajan. It's called Tirubhav Bhajan. This bhajan, the devotees sing on this day at the samadhi of Rupa. They sang this morning also. You can sing also. Yeah, right. I forgot to say, when you see the deities, Radharani's got a cowherding stick and a top knot, and her she has like a dhoti or a sari tied up like a dhoti, and pulled up to her knees, a little bit, well, up to her, above her ankles, let's say. You see in Radha Damodar, because she also dresses up as Subal Sakha, Radharani, Radha Damodar, I forget which day, but she dresses up either in Kartik or in Shravan. Twice a year they dress up like this. She dresses up as Subal Sakha and also Govindaji. And when you go there, she has a little toy, a little model, a little toy cap she's holding in front. Like, so that's fully illustrating the pastime.